Talking with Sophia and Yusuf, Harley felt a deep bond to them and to their Christian convictions, a link that he wanted to maintain for as long as he could. As they talked, everything became perfectly clear and deeply connected. Perhaps Yusuf's dinner prayer had been answered, and the risen Christ was truly present in the room.
That's the Reverend Henry Brinton, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith entitled Christian Flow. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thanks, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're pleased to have with us the Reverend Henry G. Brinton, senior pastor of Fairfax Presbyterian Church in Fairfax, Virginia. Henry is a graduate of Duke University and earned his Master of Divinity from Yale Divinity School, where he received the Charles S. Mercek Prize for preaching. Before coming to Fairfax in 2001, he served churches in Alexandria, Virginia, and Milford, Connecticut. A frequent conference speaker and workshop leader, Henry has written on religion and culture for The New York Times, The Washington Post, USA Today, and Huffington Post, among others. He is the author or co-author of several books, including The Welcoming Congregation, Roots and Fruits of Christian Hospitality, and his latest, a novel, City of Peace. Henry, welcome to Day One.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Peter.
You were with us a year and a half ago, and you've been busy since then. First of all, though, tell us about the church you serve, Fairfax Presbyterian, and what brings you joy about the people and the ministry there?
Fairfax Presbyterian Church is in the city of Fairfax, about 15 miles west of Washington, D.C., and so we face a lot of the challenges of living in a large metropolitan area, a very culturally diverse interfaith area. And one of our great challenges and joys is to work alongside our brothers and sisters from other faith traditions to work together for the good of our community.
One personal ministry you mentioned last time, and I'd love to get an update, involves your Spanish language immersion in Honduras to reach out to your Spanish-speaking neighbors there. Has that been bearing some fruit?
It has been. We are still in the early stages of that outreach effort. I studied some Spanish on my sabbatical in 2017 and look forward to using that as we reach out to our community. We have started an initiative this spring to organize small groups in our church to reach out to our community to do what I call community exegesis, to understand really well who our neighbors are, and then to develop programs that will enable us to connect and to work closely with those around us.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. You are a prolific writer, columnist, and author or co-author of several books in recent years, but your latest, published this spring, is a novel, and it's not very common for preachers to write novels, even though Jesus frequently used stories, parables in his own ministry, of course. What drove you to write City of Peace?
I'm very much aware of the limitations of teaching and preaching, especially when dealing with difficult social issues. In fact, we have an expression, people will say, don't preach at me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is true that oftentimes when a person takes a strong stand in a sermon, people get defensive, they push back. But I've discovered that telling a story draws people in.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knew this, of course, with his powerful parables, and rabbis through history have also used story to unpack biblical texts. And so I began this project of writing the novel City of Peace, hoping to explore some important issues about how we can learn to work together in a very polarized, multi-faith, intercultural society to address issues of common concern. And so I created a story that I hope will draw people in. It is a murder mystery that turns into a thriller and along the way deals with some very important social and political and theological issues.
How different of an experience was it for you to create this wonderful character of Harley Camden, a Methodist minister, and the powerful events that make an impact in his life?
It really has been a labor of love. I do this writing on my day off. It is really a joy for me to sit down and let my imagination take me to new places as I think about these characters that I've created and how they might struggle with issues, mm-hmm. how they might interact with each other. It is probably the most joyful writing I have done. And fortunately, I'm not on a deadline in this kind of writing. No Sunday sermons are coming around each week to force me to meet a Sunday deadline. And so the several years I took to write this novel really were very pleasurable years. And I'm just happy that it is now in print and people are able to enter this world with me and reflect on some issues that are very much close to my heart.
Seems it would be a great pick for a book club. How can listeners find your book?
It is available through all of the internet book services, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It can also be ordered through your local independent bookstore. And so it's widely available now. And I do encourage book clubs to read it and discuss it. I have a personal website, henrygbrinton.com, that has a set of book club discussion questions, which people can use. And the early reviews are very favorable. People who are using the book with book clubs are enjoying the discussions very much.
And Henry, I'm so impressed that you have completed 11 marathons?
That's right.
8 triathlons and 8 100-mile bike rides. Why are endurance sports an important part of your life?
For me, the training that goes into preparing for a marathon, a triathlon, or a century bike ride is an important experience of both physical and spiritual training. Running and cycling in particular become a kind of running meditation for me. I also enjoy the opportunity to train along with fellow church members and friends, and some very deep bonds are developed as we work out together, either on the running trail or cycling together. It's a little harder to have conversations in the pool, but there's swimming involved as well. And it's important to me to focus on both physical and spiritual fitness along the way.
Well, Henry, your sermon this week focuses on the gospel reading for the Sunday from Luke chapter 10. Would you read it for us?
In the gospel according to Luke, Jesus makes a visit to the town of Bethany. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village, where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her."
Mary and Martha, very interesting sisters indeed. We look forward to hearing your sermon on this text. It's entitled Christian Flow. Henry, thank you for sharing it with us.
It's my pleasure, Peter. Thank you for having me. On a warm July day, a Methodist pastor sat down for dinner in the apartment of two Coptic Christians. The pastor's name was Harley, and his hosts were Yusef and Sophia. They were a husband and wife who operated a jewelry store in the town of Occoquan, Virginia. As they sat down, Yusef offered a prayer. "Be with us, Lord Jesus, as you were with your first followers in the breaking of the bread. Bless this food to our use and ourselves to your service. Amen."
Sophia passed Harley a plate of lentils and rice with tomato sauce. She followed with stuffed grape leaves. "This food is delicious," said Harley. "Thank you very much. It all seems very healthy." "Food is important to us," Sophia said. "Think of the many times that Jesus sat down to eat with people, even tax collectors and sinners. Christian hospitality is very important to Yusef and to me." "I do appreciate it," Harley added. "Think of how much better the world would be if people actually sat down and ate with each other." Over the course of the meal, their conversation turned to news of an Islamic State attack, an attack on a group of Coptic Christians in Egypt, where Yusef and Sophia had grown up. A suicide bomber had attacked a cathedral, killing more than 24 worshippers, including a 10-year-old girl. "It was horrible," Sophia said, shaking her head. "The worst attack on Copts in years." "How did the Copts respond?" asked Harley. "With increased security, of course," said Yusef, "but also with prayer. Prayers for the victims and for their attackers." Harley was impressed that the Coptic community could respond with prayer for such evildoers. "I heard that when the funeral was held for that 10-year-old," said Sophia, "her mother asked everyone to wear white." "In my church, white is the color of resurrection," noted Harley. "That should always be the color for a funeral," Sophia agreed. "When a person has died, we should always celebrate the resurrection. They have new life in Christ." For Harley, the conversation began to feel a bit otherworldly, like a waking dream. He found himself entering a state described by psychologists as flow, when a person becomes energized, focused, and fully involved in an activity. Talking with Sophia and Yusef, Harley felt a deep bond to them and to their Christian convictions, a link that he wanted to maintain for as long as he could. As they talked, everything became perfectly clear and deeply connected. Perhaps Yusef's dinner prayer had been answered, and the risen Christ was truly present in the room. Harley was experiencing Christian flow. Now, I have a confession to make. Harley, Yusef, and Sophia are not real people. They are fictional characters from my novel, City of Peace. But their experience of Christian flow is not fake at all. It can happen any time that people break bread together and experience the presence of Jesus Christ. In fact, it happened in the town of Bethany when Jesus entered the home of two women named Martha and Mary. This story is well known, although it appears only in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. When Jesus and his disciples entered Bethany, Martha welcomed them. She was determined to practice hospitality, so she put out a spread as delicious as the meal provided by Sophia and Yusef. Luke tells us that Martha had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. Mary was focused on the presence of Jesus, not on the serving of a meal, and she was eager to have her own experience of Christian flow. Martha, on the other hand, was distracted by many tasks, and she became frustrated. "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" she asked Jesus. "Tell her, then, to help me." But Jesus answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This story of Martha and Mary is a tough one. According to my colleague Meg Peary McLaughlin, the co-pastor of Burke Presbyterian Church in Virginia, the story is one that people get riled up about. We get riled up because we know what home and chores and hospitality are like.
We don't necessarily appreciate the fact that Jesus gives Mary credit for making the choice she did. What, Jesus? You think this laundry is going to clean itself? Dinner is going to put itself on the table? Jesus says that there is need of only one thing. But we know that a good meal is always very complicated. One thing? Are you kidding me? There are a million things. But Meg offers a great insight into this story, one that requires us to notice that Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan right before he visited with Martha and Mary. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus taught us what it looks like to love our neighbors. In the story of Martha and Mary, Jesus taught us what it looks like to love God. Put the two together, and what do you get? The great commandment of Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Love of God combined with love of neighbor. Hospitable Martha was doing a great job of loving her neighbor as herself, putting out a delicious meal for Jesus. But Mary was showing us how to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. Both are essential. Both are faithful. Both are at the core of the great commandment. So what we have here are three parables: the parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of Martha and Mary, and the parable of Sophia, Yusef, and Harley. Sophia and Yusef performed the Martha part very well, offering Christian hospitality to their friend. But then they made room for the Mary part as well, in a conversation that turned into an experience of Christian flow. I feel as though God has been talking to me through dreams. Harley said this to them over dinner, confessing something that he had not revealed to anyone else. Really? Asked Sophia. There is a long history of that in the Bible. I'd be interested in hearing about your dreams, said Yusef. Such communication has always been fascinating to me. So Harley told them about a dream he had in which an angel told him that his friend Leah was pregnant. He was shocked by this news, since Leah was single and was not involved with anyone. Then the angel said, Harley, do not be afraid to take Leah as your wife. Ah, said Yusef, the same message that the angel gave Joseph before Jesus was born. I was stunned, Harley continued. I couldn't understand why this message was being given to me. I wanted Leah to be held accountable for her unplanned pregnancy, but not do anything to embarrass her. That was Joseph's struggle as well, wasn't it? Said Yusef. The tension between judgment and compassion. He chose compassion, and look what a difference it made. So, what is it that God is saying to me? Harley wondered. What I am hearing is this, said Yusef. God is asking you to make a choice between justice and love. You can judge the people around you, or you can show them compassion. Sophia suggested, step out in faith and show the compassion that Joseph showed to Mary. You won't regret it, added Yusef. Harley sat for a moment, struggling with how to respond, and as he did, he felt the feeling of Christian flow dissipate. The presence of Jesus, which had felt so real, was no longer something he could perceive. But Harley realized that there was an offer of compassion that he had to make to one particular person. Getting up, he said, I really want to thank you for the meal and the conversation. You have shown amazing hospitality, and you have helped me figure some things out. Christian hospitality. Christian flow. We learn about one from Martha and about the other from Mary. And in our own lives, we are challenged to make room for both as we break bread with friends and open ourselves to the presence of Christ in honest conversations. Both flow and hospitality are central to the Christian life as we seek to love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We can trust that Jesus will be with us as we do this, helping everything to become perfectly clear and deeply connected. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, be with us today as you were with your first followers in the breaking of the bread. Help us to show Christian hospitality and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But inspire us also to sit at your feet and to learn how to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. As we do so, may everything become perfectly clear and deeply connected. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Our Day One preacher today was the Reverend Henry Brinton, senior pastor of Fairfax Presbyterian Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For a free printed transcript of his sermon, Christian Flow, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or email us at info@dayone.org. That's info@day1.org. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. To listen again to today's program, share a sermon transcript, or watch inspiring videos, visit us online at day1.org. And remember, Day One depends on the generous contributions of our faithful listeners. If you appreciate our ministry, please consider sending a donation. We're grateful for your much-needed support. I'm Sherry Miller. Next week, we're delighted to welcome the Reverend Jason Michelli, senior pastor of Annandale United Methodist Church in Annandale, Virginia. Be sure to tune in for his good word on the next Day One. Now, Henry Brinton offers some final reflections on today's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Henry, I enjoyed dipping into your novel through your stories included in your sermon as Pastor Harley enjoys the hospitality of Sophia and Yusuf, Coptic Christians who had grown up in Egypt. During their dinner conversation, you said Harley began to sense what psychologists describe as flow, when a person becomes energized and focused and fully involved in an activity. And as you put it, Harley was experiencing Christian flow. Would you say a little more about how or in what circumstances we might experience this phenomenon?
I think very often this experience of Christian flow is found in community. It's found in conversations that happen in a place where people feel safe, where they can express their deepest thoughts and concerns and beliefs and convictions. Very often, the experience is set up by a shared meal, which is why I think the story of Martha and Mary is such an apt parable for this kind of experience, because Martha does provide tremendous Christian hospitality, and that sets the stage for Mary to sit at the feet of Jesus and have that experience of Christian flow in the presence of her Lord.
Mm-hmm. And as you point out, this account really tells us what it looks like to love God, and it comes right after the parable of the Good Samaritan, which tells us what it looks like to love our neighbors. So these are stories about the great commandment of Jesus, you shall love the Lord your God and your neighbors as yourself. Doing both is possible, as your own story of Sophia and Yusuf and Harley demonstrates, and Mary and Martha as well. How can we take this understanding and really put it to work in our lives?
It is a challenge for us because I think many of us do the Martha part very well. We're good at working, at providing hospitality for our friends and neighbors, but we're not as naturally good at sitting at the feet of Jesus, sitting and allowing the Spirit of Christ to lead us into deeper relationships with each other and with God. And so I encourage people to create opportunities where there's time and space for these kinds of conversations, because that's where Christian flow can be experienced and where we really can deepen our love for God right along with our love for each other. We live in such a fast-paced society, we don't often give ourselves the time to have these sorts of conversations and to focus on what I often describe as being deep-spirited friendships, where we can be open with each other, vulnerable to each other, and completely honest with each other.
And it's easy for us Marthas to look at our Marys and just think them as lazy or, you know, uninvolved. But it takes a lot of work to do the Mary work as well, doesn't it?
It does. There's a lot of focus there. There's a lot of attention being given to something that is very important. But you're absolutely right that we don't often carve out the time to do that. One of the expressions you hear thrown around sometimes is, don't just sit there, do something. Well, Mary challenges us to do the opposite. Don't just do something, sit there.
Henry, what's one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind in the days ahead?
I hope that our listeners will continue to ponder not only the parable of the Good Samaritan, which does teach us to love our neighbors, but ponder what I would call the parable of Mary and Martha, which teaches us how to love God.
Henry Brenton, thank you for being with us.
You're so welcome.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for listening. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever.